Monte Cristo in Nashville. You are listening to The Smoking Section.
We are here at Citizen Peabody. How you guys doing?
Sixth, we're here.
What'd you say?
We're here.
It's Citizen Peabody. I think the last time I did a live podcast recording was with you.
Yeah, and
at Café de Monte Cristo.
The cigar.
The cigar place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What year was?
Was it 2019?
Yeah.
They were 2019.
Three years. Ladies and gentlemen, we have here Grammy nominated, a good friend of mine, sometimes a pain in the ass, Jimmy Allen.
What's up, bro?
How you doing, love?
Feeling, man. Don't blame him.
Yeah. This is very unique, John. I think this is the first time we've actually sat down and actually had a conversation a long time.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
Yeah, besides phone calls.
Yeah, oh, there's been a lot of phone calls.
Yeah.
Who calls who more, though?
I'm pretty sure you call me.
No.
No.
I don't know.
No, I'm pretty sure you call me.
I probably didn't.
Yeah. I'd
burn this.
I'd be needed about.
Go Bernie.
Go Birds.
Yeah.
Go Birds. Sorry, Ryan. So let's talk about this. You just released Greats.
Yeah.
Fire. Song in the Sun. What was the day that you went in and recorded that song? What was it like?
So, Grits, stands for the Girls Raising the Sticks. And what's so funny is when I started to put out teasers of the song, right? People kept, well, how did he put that out? Bradley Gilbert has a song called Grits. I'm like, yeah, but it's a different song, and there's a lot of songs with the same title. And I was like, of course I know you did it. I'm a Bradley Gilbert fan. He put it out in 2014 when it came out.
Yeah.
And I was like, this was a girl's was in the South. I'm not from the South. From Sticks, but I'm knowing. So that's what that stands for. So, it was me, Ryder Wall, Taya Howe, Sher Powell, and the guy that Style Saray, it kind of just came in and kind of wanted to have a song that represented where I was from and the people where I was from, especially with lives like Down Home Pretty. They don't make them in the city like Grits. So Down Home Pretty isn't an appearance thing. Down Home Pretty is it's more of an internal thing. It's a feeling about yourself. You know what I mean? Feeling about how you approach every situation during the day, your relationships, the job, people you surround yourself with. Like, Down on Pretty is just like, it's a confidence thing, So with different lines like that, we wanted to just make sure we had something that resonated with people where I was from, right? And then hopefully, if people where I was from dug it, it would kind of reach other people as well.
So you talk about where you're from. You're from Delaware.
Yes, sir. I'm from Delaware, born and raised.
In Delaware. So you ever been back to Nashville?
You said what?
You ever been back to Nashville?
Nah, there's no beach here, bro.
Hey, come on.
No. So my plan, the crazy thing was, when I moved here in 2007, the plan was to leave by 2015. I have a regular deal by 2015. So I stay a little longer. So, man, I love where I'm from. I love Delaware. It's the best of both worlds. That small town right there. You got the beach right there. It's like a fish garden in the summer. During the winter, it's about, spend a lot of time in Florida there. Between Disney, the beach, the fishing. But now, man, home is Delaware for me. I know a lot of people run away from their hometown and really go back. But for me, it was always my goal to go back, because there's people there that knew me way before this. Back when I spelled Jenny with a Y, People that knew me when I studied really bad. People that went to grade school with me. And for me, that's important. I've had a chance to go to my little cousin's sporting events, watch them play middle school sports, high school sports. So for me, that's super important to, instead of watching my friends and their family grew up, I get to actually be a part of that life, and the older you get, you really start to realize what's important, can I live here and miss out on what my family and my friends are doing, or could I just visit again and be home and actually be a part of the people that mean a lot to me in my life?
Your mother lives here.
For now, she's about to go to Florida.
Where is she?
She's here.
She getting with a Florida?
Yeah, they're going to Florida.
Going to Florida. Everybody needs to go to a beach.
And that's where
I don't understand. I don't understand. I mean, I like beaches and all, but it's too much sand in
my Yeah, I like, because I'm an ocean fisherman, man. Like, the lakes are cool, but you know what you're going to catch?
Too many bodies.
You don't catch a crappie. You don't catch a hybrid striper, and you don't catch a bass. I want to catch a real striper. I want to catch flounder. I want to catch tuna. I want to catch slug. I want to catch spot. I want to catch perch, yellow perch, white perch. I want to catch trout. I want to catch togs. I want to catch triggerfish. I want to catch trout, red trout, white trout. That's it. See what I'm saying? See the first thing you have there?
He just had himself a forest duck like
that. <I did. laughs>
Jump bull strip, black strip, white strip.
But yeah, it's fun. It's like when you're fishing, like in the ocean, like there's different lures, different rigs, different live bait, different rig setup based on what type of fish you want. It's fun, and it's kind of how I grew up, you know. And it's cool to always have the option to do that.
See, I'm always afraid of falling into the ocean.
You want to stay on the boat?
Well, I'm on the boat. I'll fall into the ocean.
I've jumped off the boat, my boy.
Have you jumped off the boat, or you talk?
Boat.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my cousin Walt.
Can you swim?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
You brought me to the beach, you gotta swim.
I mean, I can swim too, artist.
JJ, yeah, you gotta swim. You gotta swim.
We are equal.
Yeah, you gotta be able to swim. So that's when you go to the beach, bro. Because there's a current and an undertow in the ocean that they don't have in the lake. You know, the lake, you just get out and hang out, do whatever they do. Well, you get out at ocean, especially some of them canals, place called, some people watching might know, some might not, place called Indian River Inlet, where they got a channel and it goes out to the ocean. You gotta be careful there.
So you like the beach.
Mm-hmm.
You go surfing?
Sometimes, if it's the only time you can really surf in Delaware is if like the storm's coming, you might get like 10, 11 foot.
Yeah, that's all. I've
surfed from time to time, but I don't frequent it. I'll skimboard.
See, I can't.
Yeah, I'll skimboard, but with surfing, no.
I can't hear that.
Nah.
All right, so we obviously, Country Line TV is based in the UK. Any plans on touring in the UK? Anybody touring Canada? What's the plan? What's the next plan for Jim Dad?
Man, yeah, so we're, constantly recording new music. I'm actually playing some snippets of some new songs a little bit. I don't want to do the UK, I think next year. Going to Canada this year, I think this thing. So 12 to 15 days we're lined up. Then we're going to announce those shows here in the next couple of weeks. I love Canada. I feel like I've never really spent enough time there. But I love it. So I'm looking forward to going to Canada, actually going from venue to venue and actually having days off to like enjoy like the culture. Because like when I travel for shows, of course I go to every single bowling alley I can find. That's a must.
Yeah,
but I like getting out in the city and like experiencing their culture, you know, their food, they like the drinks, they like the way they talk, you know, the way they process information, the way they process songs, and just actually taking the time to learn people. Because that's the same reason as actually why I went to college. Like I never really had the goal to get a degree, like a paper degree. It was just more going to know people, because I grew up in this little small country town where pretty much everybody was the same, just about, no matter your ethnicity. But I purposely went to Delaware State because I got to meet people from the inner city, right? From New York, from Philly, from upstate New Jersey, from D.C. And then I also spent a lot of time at the University of Delaware to where I got to meet pretty much people from the suburbs, rich folk, you know, kind of see how they operate. Because I'm like, if I want to be an entertainer, I have to be able to understand how people receive information, how they process it, how they put it back to the world, you know, how they like their music, how they like the phrasing, how they like the production, kind of just learn, like, I call it the cadence of life, the cadence of people, because everybody in every culture has their own cadence. And so it's kind of just learning that, right? So that's why I try every single day to go out and experience that culture. That way I can take that in, and maybe my next time writing a song or producing the song, I have to say, you know what? I learned this from here. I learned this from here. And maybe that can bring a different element to the song that people that listen to my music have I heard before.
That's great. I mean, it's amazing. This is what this is. This is the calmer Jimmy out that out of these two. This is a lot calmer. Normally he wilding out.
Yeah, man. I'm dancing small.
Yeah, the pants and your high heels.
Yeah, man. And I got little boots on.
He fits.
You know, I like to design my own stuff. About a little flair to it. He said, I would say they're mixed between Lady Kravitz, Prince. Lenny Kravitz, Prince. I'll say, what's that other artist's name?
I don't know.
That wore the boots all the time. I can't think of his
name. Jay Brown?
No. Aaron Neville.
Oh.
Aaron Neville used to wear a lot of boots like this, but without the shiny stuff on.
I got a question for you. Well, your childhood and your mindset when you leave here. When I moved here, I was really, the reason I moved here was because I was afraid of it sucking the normal that was where I grew up.
I know.
Were you afraid of getting stuck in the normal?
Yeah, I was never afraid of getting stuck in normal. It comes down to just about being on the list, understanding the career I wanted, what it took place if I stayed where I was at, you know? So for me, it's all about leaving and doing what I need to do, then I can always come back. But it was kind of a place of feeling like getting stuck. Because again, I love being home. Like, I love it, you know? So for me, it was never really a stuck thing. I have a hard time leaving. For me, it was just understanding that I couldn't do what I needed to do musically in Milton, Delaware.
Are you glad you moved here?
I am glad I moved here. You know, I got a chance to learn a lot just about not only the business, but just songwriting, kind of crafting a song, producing a song. You know, met a lot of great people. You know, some of my closest friends are still here. And I had a lot of cool life experiences. So even some that wasn't even involving music, you know, I used to go to this weekly church thing in Brentwood Baptist called Kairos. Like, Kairos was, I mean, amazing people there. Had to play sports. Because what I learned is, man, life is just about experiences, right? And you can't write songs if you haven't lived. So whether it was a softball league I was in, or football league I was in, or kickball league, or basketball league. Those are experiences, like those are moments I had with people, right? And a lot of those conversations found their way into my music. So I was glad I moved here. You know, it's a part of my life, part of my life's book. It's a chapter in it. Something I'll always cherish and be able to look back on.
Let's fast forward to your life, ma'am. You have six kids.
Six, man. Yes, sir.
Got a little Brady Bunch of them.
Yes, sir, man. I got Aiden's the oldest. Naomi, Lara, Amari, Aria, and Cohen.
What are they teaching you about yourself?
Man, I would say the thing they're teaching me about myself is definitely learning patience, right? But also learning when I have more love to give and things to offer than I thought. Yeah, because a lot of times you can look at yourself when you hit a certain point in life, right? And feel like it's not everything. There's nothing left, right? But it's crazy what kid will spark you. You'll find yourself more motivated to take care of business, more motivated to make sure, okay, do they have food, right? The school paid for it. Do they have clothes? And then they'll motivate them to not only get what they need, but also what they want, right? Because a bike isn't a need, but a bike's a want. And being able to get to the point where I can, you know, give them a bike. But also, when you get past the things, I have an opportunity now to teach them, you know what I mean, how to be disciplined, be focused, right? Teach them how to love, teach them how to be afraid to show emotion, teach them not be afraid to open up and be themselves. But I feel like a lot of times as parents, we can get caught up a lot of times in the monitoring things, like whether it's clothes or, you know, bicycle, toys, PlayStations, whatever. We forget the intangibles, you know, teaching our kids self-confidence to the point where it's how my mom and dad raised me. Like, the reason why I never got bullied is because my parents didn't allow me to get forward, because they instilled so much self-confidence in me and so much self-belief that if someone did make fun of my shoes, it don't matter. I know who I am. Those are just words. Words don't bother me. You know what I mean? Like, and also teaching my kids that no matter what someone says or what someone does to you or how they treat you, we're still responsible for our own actions, right? And in every situation, we have a choice of just teaching them discipline, teaching them confidence, teaching them what loving yourself actually looks like. And then just having real conversations. You know, I started to have a conversation with my son a couple months ago as he gets older, you know, because there's a conversation that black parents got to have with black kids, you know, about understanding. Listen, what I told him, I said, listen, son, it's not about when you go through life. Yes, it's about how you perceive yourself. But figuring out your way through life is understanding how people view you and how they perceive you, right? So once you know how people perceive me, then you're able to say, okay, if I need this to happen, I need to do this. Because even though it's not fair that I'm treated differently, I still am. That's the facts. You know, I try to let my son get wrapped up in a bunch of what ifs or a bunch of life's not fair, because it's not. But we can't change that. But the only thing we're responsible for is our actions, right? How we maneuver through adversity, how we maneuver through how people might view us, and still find ways to focus and be a good person, still show love, and yet still not lose sight of the goal and the path that we're on.
That's right. Some mama. Mama out there. She gave you an amen.
Amen.
She did a church amen. For those white folks who don't remember that's my kid, sorry. No, I mean, listen, you have to make sure you're raising confidence.
Absolutely.
And it's okay to be yourself. I think when you start really realizing you're becoming of yourself is one of the greatest days of your lives.
Yeah.
So, new music, you release greats, you go on tour. You happy?
I am, man. You know, I feel like a lot of times people can lose sight of what makes them happy when they're chasing what others deem as happiness or what happiness should be to them, you know. It's amazing what happens and the freedom you feel when everything clicks, as far as, you know, what makes me happy? Hanging with my kids, writing music, performing music, fishing, bowling, Disney World. I don't like recording. Like, I hate this media. It's tedious. It's redundant. I can't stand it because, like, on stage, you sing the song one time in the studio. You gotta record this, and you gotta record again, and you gotta record again. Hours going to a 3-minute song. So what I started doing over the last couple of years recording is, I treat my recording sessions like I treat a live show. So I don't record vocals before 7 p.m. because you don't I'm not playing a show 7 p.m., right? I make sure I prepare before I get to the studio so that way I'm not holding the phone trying to read lyrics because you can't feel it like that. There's no, it's hard for passion to go from here to the microphone to the listener if you're reading lyrics, and you got to be able to feel it. So what I'll do typically now when I record, I'll rehearse the song for weeks before I go to the studio. So that way when I go in the studio, I'll sing the whole song down one time, then I'll sing it down again. Then I might hit a verse if I feel like I missed it. If not, if it's imperfect, Because it's a character flaw. It's a part of you. Like, I feel like sometimes when you're trying to make things too perfect, you remove what people love about your voice from the song, right? And you don't want to do that because it's your voice and your vocal characteristics that pull people in and pull people in and fall in love with you as a vocalist. So then after that, then I'll go back in and do an ad-lib track, and I love my ad-libs, all the vocal stomach that is about you. I love my ad-libs. And even with writing now, I don't do the whole sitting down, writing it on paper. So what I'll do is, if we're writing to a track, I'll come up with stuff in my head. I haven't just played a track, and I'll get in like freestyle and melody, and I'll freestyle lyrics to see what pops in my head, see what comes natural. Because a lot of times I feel like we fight what comes natural to try to put what we want in the song. And a lot of times the song isn't about what we want to put in there, it's about what the song is telling you it wants over that melody, over that beat, right? Or if it's a guitar song, I'll have a record the acoustic, and then I'll try to freestyle something. Then once I kind of get the basis of it, then I'll go and write, try to make things connect. But I'm learning to just trust what the feels, right? Right? Because our favorite songs, how many times have you heard somebody say, hey, man, how's that song go? They don't quote lyrics to them. They quote the melody. They go, you know the song that goes, nah, 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 nah. Nobody, you know what I'm saying? Because it's what feels right. It's the melody. That's what grabs you, right? And it's just the lyric that kind of ties everything together. And I feel so often we can overthink the recording process, right? And overthink the writing process to where you can write yourself out of the song. You can write the magic out of the song. So even there's times where, you know, when you write a song, you do a rough vocal, and then you go record the song for real and realize that, wait, the rough vocal was better. So this time, I don't even go re-record a song. The day I write it, if the vocal feels right, even if there's some sharp notes or flat, I keep it. Freedom Was a Highway, that same vocal you heard is from the same vocal we wrote in the song. I ain't saying nothing. The same vocal. Down Home, most of that, same vocal. A lot of songs on the Tulip Drive album, Broken Hearted, same vocal, didn't change anything. Because that's what felt right. That's where all the magic was in the room, right? And then the passion was in the room. So once you write a song and you record it with the passion, you record it with the excitement, right? It's hard to duplicate that when you're in a booth by yourself, when everyone you've created the song with is gone. Because I feel like everybody in that room plays a part. Even if one person in the room writes one word or doesn't write anything, I honestly believe whoever in that room that day brought something to the table energy-wise that made that song special, that made that moment special.
You can talk about how much you don't like recording, but now he added the factor that you have now brought your live band.
Oh, yeah.
Into the studio.
Yeah.
So how is that benefit? How does that help your music quality in the music now?
So typically a lot of times people have a live band, they don't have session players, right? The session players are some of the best musicians you'll ever meet, right? But for me, what was important wasn't the song having the best musicians on it. It was about having the best musicians that fit me, that fit my sound, that fit the sound that I want, right? Because I don't want people to come to a live show, like they fall in love with a record and they come to a live show that's completely different. You know, we're giving them, it's like, you know, we selling you mac and cheese all day, and when you show up at my house, I give you broccoli. You're like, hey, where's the mac and cheese? You know what I mean? So for me, I wanted to develop a sort of consistency going from the creation of the song to the recording of the song to the performance of the song, right? And then once they fall in love with the performance, the recording of the song at the live show now, it gives us freedom to kind of change it up a little bit so that way people aren't listening to the same version that they heard for weeks and months. You know, the redundancy, I don't really want that. So it's been fun, you know, having the guys play on the record. Even though Nate lives here, Nate still recorded songs and then just sent them back. So
Nate's been with you for a very, very, very long time.
And they've been playing music together since 07? Yeah, met on Craigslist. Yes, bro. That's been when Craigslist was still a thing.
I forgot about Craigslist.
Met on Craigslist. But like Stu Mee's in Delaware, the keyboard player, great. The other guitar players in Delaware, DJ and Ryder and Merlin.
Wow.
Yeah, no.
So it's an all black band.
And Nate.
And Nate.
And Grant.
What's your other honorary black folks?
Yeah, you know, the and everybody has a nickname now. We call Nate Black Nate. the other guitar player is I call him Pretty Boy Ricky. The drummer, he's a water boy. Because he's always drinking water, asking for water. Then my cousin, that's my MD, Donald. His nickname's Stu. He's been Scooby my whole life. I didn't find out his real name was Donald till we got to college. True story, bro. I did not know his name was Donald until we got to college.
My friendship is that.
It's my cousin. It's Delaware, bro. Like, I didn't know. True story.
Oh, boy.
Remember the DJ from my wedding?
Yeah.
DJ Cheats.
Yeah.
It's my cousin. It's my second cousin. I did not know his name was Thomas until the day of my wedding, bro. Here's how it happened. So I called him Cheeseburger. Everybody calls him Cheeseburger. The day of the wedding. And my mom said, that's right. The day of the wedding, right? The wedding might have spoken. Hello? You know what? Thomas White. I was like, no. Who's that? Well, he says he's a DJ. He said he's not the DJ. My cousin Cheeseburger's a DJ, right? She said, are you sure? He's the term. I said, it's not him, son of a boy. So Cheese calls me. Hey, bro, where you at? I said, I'm with the venue waiting for you. Where you at? I'm out front talking to a wedding planner. I said, no, some guy named Thomas White's out there. He said, bro, that's Lee. I said, oh. Didn't know. So Scooby, I found out his name was Scooby in college. DJ don't got a nickname yet. He's just DJ.
You got a nickname?
Jimmy, Jimbo, Jim Bob, Jim Spice. Same things I've had my whole life. Jimmy, Jim, Jim, Jim. Yes, bro. Lil Jim, Lil Dugan. So my dad's nickname was Dugan.
Yeah.
So they call me Lil Dugan. They call me Lil Jim, Jimbo. Yeah. I've never had a cool nickname, bro, because everybody already has a nickname for Jim. So whatever you people consider Jim or whatever, that's what they call it. So I've never had a cool nickname like Ice Money or like
Flavor Flav.
Turkey Sandwich. Flavor Flav Taken. My boy Brian that Russ Dell made, and then I nicknamed him Flavor Flav. Yeah. Yeah, man. But yeah, bro, that's so who we got going. It's the band. It's been great playing new music. Matter of fact, swinging the music. I'm going to play.
You want to play some songs?
Yeah, I'm going to play a verse, of course, of something new I'm going to play. Let's see. Let's see. Let's see what we got here. Oh, yeah, here we go. Play a verse, of course. The song's called Drama on the Tailgate. Let's we hook up over here. Let's see. Bro, let me know what we got. I'm not at it.
Don't see the mess we see your word.
Ow.
Hey, baby, I love the way you're dancing. Not anybody got a body like that. DJ, what are the chances? Play a little something, a little calling bold flat. Girl, I got you. You got me and every guy in this film. Pretty, baby. to watch you race. Getting on the walls of people is the ground drive. Die, they are the tail gary. What your mom and Eddie Bay would never see the shake shake. And it's definitely out like it's all said away. Wait, down it all. He got all alone in the show and the doors. He got bound. Fear beside every rhythm can say, Jesus, call out, go away. And the girl just all that sound here. Be trail out. Child, child, travel all.
Hey, Buffalo, right here.
Hey, don't you even worry.
That's a, yeah, so that's a piece of drum.
Wow.
Tailgate.
You should have released that to the, before Brett's.
Hey, man. I love them all.
I mean, I just, you know, that's a summer banger.
Then you got, oh, here we go. Like I said, this is a song called Small Town Inn.
I'm on my car, that we play. Intro. All for glowing. The people of the men worth working all day. And y'all lolly. Bill stick pain. He's selling coal. We can owe. We got members to make. That's all we ever know. So I'm gonna live with that life. Wasted. Oh, thanks. Hell yeah. It's even get to the ceiling. I'm anxious. Yeah, to paint. You're quit. Oh, my. Then the hat flavors of the rusty the elbows. Getting loaded up. I mean, on the things that are all so bad. Feel it feel that way. But the guy and I'm not a pisser. To a police that dog gave no that alien you convinced him. Baby, they live in this small town play while I'm fooling.
Yeah.
Lips. We are near an old friend on stage.
Yeah, so it's a piece of that one.
Technology is my friend.
Listen, technology is not always my friend. Oh, here we go. Shout out to Nate. I'm going to play this. So this one, so I'm a fan of pop, progressive pop, alternative pop, whatever you want to call it, alternative rock, whatever. Shout out to Nate. Song called Cause You Wanna. This is something different.
Long touch starts with that I had to commit. Not even though I'm not stand on heck no. Your joy, you just got hope. All the scars open, you're lying in bed. Bidding on all dying in bed. Before we give this thing a go, I got to know it isn't as it hurts. No, it's a ball.
Yeah, but collective.
You found
to be
on the surf of all the sea. I said, oh, it's a ball that pulled on your penny sweater now. Found us at the high invasion to support the war, stay in the wonders and the fear and the war and the hints. But that's beyond. If it's lonely, it gives me so lonely.
Yeah, but those are number one hints right there, buddy.
Yeah, man, you know, it's so it's fun to make new stuff. I'll play a piece of two more, but it's we play something slow. Got a lot of up tempos.
Got more. There's no more for having to play.
It's saying. Oh, here we go. So, I love TV shows. I love movies.
Yeah.
So I remember I was watching the Star Is Born movie, right? And then I went from watching that movie to what movie was it? I'm trying to. It was an Anne Hathaway movie. Of course, I love Anne Hathaway. But there was this couple, right? And they were like back and forth, back and forth. Then they finally broke up. And then at the time, I think it was like 70 years old. And he had moved on, right? But she didn't. And it was one of the things where she spent the rest of her life still in love with this guy that she was, that was her purchaser. He had moved on. She didn't move on. And it was regret from her side. But even though he had moved on, he was remarried. It's still regret from his side. So I was like, man, I want to write a...
I think I saw this movie. He, like, she came back to him, and he was like, I'm really guard. He, like...
Yes. We got to get the name of that movie. We got to find the name.
That comes on my Facebook reel.
We got to find the name of the merch. But, yeah, song's called If I Still Love You.
Wild gold, and I broke all these pictures of bullshit. And all of them, my home, they throw out every pain. If all I ever made were rather than smile and full of play, every song was the wall. But you'll go pretty face.
What up to the?
And roll it with that serious girl of wine. And I stay awake to kill with kill of a lot of wine. And every response takes me back to our first kiss. What if one of myself wanna take your place? What could ever make me feel this way? They could tell me, what am I supposed to do? If I still love you.
I definitely my favorite part. Definitely the bridge is my favorite part. Here it is. It's my Bill Broder song. Alright, fun fact. So when I recorded this song, it was a one take. So you might hear my voice crack a little bit of the falsetto note, or you might not, but either way, I believe in it. But we'll find out.
It's only time for the tears to dry. What is one of the 80,000? What is it if only you want for your life, boy? You're my love, my love.
I love the delay. But yeah, man, so that's If I Still Love You. But I'm not finna leave y'all with no slow song. I ain't gonna have one.
But you get ready to play.
Yeah, I know. And I ain't playing no fast.
No.
What you think that's it?
But you can't play it? You can't play the bathroom? You let your bag play now?
Leary one.
Oh. Okay.
Whoa. I know the truck crew down. I got some bills stacked up. I got a girl left town. I'm calling some real bad luck, cause I just scuffed up my chores, put a dent in my door, and left my windows down, and went from raining to pouring. But still, the grass needs mowing, and the trash needs thrown. Point to that place I go anywhere. I know I got a town that stayed in did it with you. Oh, that ceiling. Back in, I was always put a sap in my word out there in issue. Moving style, bone crest. If all oriented to this all sitting, we all know that that 99 problem for the beer. Long out as a tosser in mid.
Yeah, man, so this is some unreleased stuff we're working on.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it are.
So it's fun.
That was fun.
You know the crazy thing, bro?
Can you send me that?
I've sent you that, Mark.
Did you have?
Yes, you just didn't listen to it.
No, I did listen to it. I just...
Nah, it's a lot of the songs that I've been recording and writing lately while being in Delaware, I feel like it's some of the best music I've done.
Yeah.
You know, there's lyrics come to me now when I'm out on my boat fishing. Believe it or not, when I'm at the bowling alley. And it's crazy what happens when you change your environment, right? And you have people in your life and people in your circle that only want the best for you. Everything changes. Your energy around you changes, right? Because whatever else someone has going on in their life, whether it's negative or positive, affects you somehow when they're around you. So for me, just being at home has just been a way to just cleanse myself mentally, right? And emotionally, but also creatively, to where I don't feel like I'm not making music now to do anything other than make myself happy, right? So that's where I feel like where the freedoms come in, and I feel like the freedom now is starting to show for the music.
You seem at peace.
Yes, peace is a underestimated thing, right? It is.
Yeah, you see. You see, I said earlier, this is not the same triviality, but I didn't mean for it as a real.
Yeah, man. You know, because a lot of times we all have at some point in our life a desire to reach our own expectations, but also is the expectations we've allowed other people to put on us. The ultimate freedom comes from when you remove all of that, right? And you figure out what support you need. So, yeah, and yeah, great to see. And it's getting to see you.
This has been an amazing interview. This has been a live before the Transformers of the Podcast and Country Line TV with Jimmy Allen. Now, Jimmy, you gonna play us two songs?
Yeah, man. I'm gonna get Nate. Oh, there's Nate there right there. Nate Woodall, ladies.
Your heart of balls for Nate.
From Casa de Monte Cristo in Nashville, you are listening to The Smoking Section.